Father God, we pray to you now that you will open our hearts, open our minds to receive from your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please do sit down. So back in 1980, I remember it very clearly, sitting in my brother's bedroom in Scotland, and he played the sounds of Pink Floyd. The first time I heard Pink Floyd, and I was completely taken. And ever since then, I've always wanted to try and see him in concert. And I had got into the habit of checking the music press, almost religiously. Is there going to be a Pink Floyd tour coming up? And of course, there never was. I did get to see him once in a huge stadium. And then I stopped checking the press, really. I got a bit older. And then suddenly went into work one day in 1994, and everybody had tickets and had missed out. They were all sold out. And just to kind of put salt into the wounds, they recorded the concert and showed it on the BBC a little bit later. And I suddenly couldn't believe what I had missed. It might not be your thing. We got to admit, it's one of the most spectacular stage shows there's ever been. So I missed out. I could see Pam getting ready to have a dance there. The thing is, I just got out of the habit after a long wait of checking the press. And I couldn't believe it. All these half-hearted Pink Floyd fans, well, they weren't even fans at all. They just heard it was a good show. And they went to see, and I said, "Give me your ticket." And they said, "No, you should have got your own. You missed out." Well, today we're entering the season of Advent. I'm sorry we didn't light the Advent candle in this service. We lit it in our all-age service earlier. But of course, Advent is the season where we look ahead to the coming of Jesus at Christmas, but we also look ahead to his coming back at the end of the age. So it's a time when we prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus. Today we're thinking about the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. It's a very familiar story. You may wish to follow it. It was on a page about 994, I think, around that. No, that's my Bible. Let me find where it was. Yes, about page 994, I think. And Jesus says, this is what it's like as we await his return. Now, in family church this morning, I began by asking a question. I said, who likes parties? And of course, lots of hands went up. Lots of people love parties. And Jesus says, when he returns, it's going to be like a party. It's going to be like a wedding banquet. It's going to be absolutely amazing. And of course, when Jesus comes back, everything that's wrong with this world will be put right. There'll be a new creation, a renewed heavens and earth. It's a party we don't want to miss out on. So I handed out invitations, saying, let's remember, every person in this whole world has been invited to the greatest party on earth. What do we do with our invitations? We don't want to miss out. We need to treasure them and we need to respond. In many ways, Jesus has already covered that by the time we get to Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, he starts focusing on 10 people who appear to be ready and waiting eagerly for the return of Jesus. 10 bridesmaids are waiting for the groom. The groom represents Jesus. The bridesmaids represent the church. And when you look at people in the church, Well, we all look alike. I wanted to get a delivery from Tesco's of chocolate buttons, well, chocolate little things. Unfortunately, they substituted and they were all alike. But what you can do normally is get some chocolates that cover peanuts and some chocolates that cover raisins. And if you mix them all up, you can't tell which you're going to get. They all look the same from the outside. It's only when you bite in that you realise that you're either getting a peanut or a raisin. In the church, Jesus knows our hearts. I can look at you all, and it looks like we're all in church, therefore we're all eagerly waiting for Jesus to return. But Jesus knows what's inside our hearts. And in the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, we see they all seem to be eagerly awaiting the return of Jesus, but some are not. Because when Jesus finally does come, the bridegroom comes after a long wait. All the bridesmaids have been waiting such a long time, they've fallen asleep. When he suddenly arrives, there's a panic. Quickly, we must light our lamps. The wise ones get out their jars of oil, pour it into the lamps, and light their lamps. The foolish ones can't do that. They did not bring their supply of oil. So a passerby would have looked upon all those bridesmaids and thought they all appeared to be waiting for the bridegroom. But only five were ready. The other five were foolish. They said, "Please, please, give us some of your oil," to the ones who had the jars. And they said, "We can't do that. There's not enough. You're going to have to go off to the shops and buy some." And of course, while they're away, the bridegroom comes, leads the ones who do have their oil into the heavenly banquet, and the doors are shut. Several minutes later, the foolish bridesmaids come running with their oil, knock desperately on the door. It's too late. You've missed out. What we're seeing today is a wonderful, wonderful, exciting thing. Jesus returns. It's the best party ever, but a warning. It's not just people outside the church who effectively rip up the invitation they're given, who are not interested. It could be people inside the church who miss out by not being ready. And the question is, have you bought your oil? This parable actually is a bit of a ludicrous story, really, and it's deliberately so. It's crackers. What sort of people turn up with their lamps and don't bring any fuel? I thought of an illustration. When I was at Liverpool University, we had exams to do. Bizarrely, one of the exam halls was a converted church, and we always joke that you might need to kind of fall down on your knees and start praying once you read the paper. But outside the exam room, we'd all be there with pencil cases. We'd have our pen, our pencil, and maybe a ruler inside. Can you imagine the scene? As if once we were let in, and we sat down, we all looked like we were ready, and we zip open the pencil cases. The foolish ones among us bring out our pencil, our pen, and our ruler, and we put them on our desk. But unbelievably so, there's other people there who open up their pencil cases and go, "I forgot to pack my pen and my pencil and my ruler." They look over. "Please, can I have something to write with?" "No. I've only got one pen. You have to go and find one yourself." So the foolish ones have to leave the exam hall and run off to the shop. Now, at Liverpool, we had 20 minutes. You could arrive 20 minutes late for an exam. After that, no, there was no entry. But to go to the nearest shop, you had to go down the hill, which was a good 10 minutes walk, and back up another 10 minutes. And then how long does it take to buy a pen? 5 minutes? Anybody who had forgotten their pen would miss out on doing the exam and get nil marks. This is the picture that Jesus is bringing here. So firstly, we need to think about this. We're all in church this morning. It's easy to look like a Christian. We can come to church, we can sit on the PCC, we can help at the Christmas fair. But it's the oil that makes the difference. Have we really encountered Jesus in our hearts? Are we following the life of discipleship? Praying? Reading our Bibles? Coming to church regularly? It's easy to look like we're in the club by just turning up from time to time and helping out here and there. But remember those chocolates. Jesus can see right inside and knows our hearts. Jesus is a long time in coming back. It's been 2,000 years. The bridegroom was a long time, and all those bridesmaids, they fell asleep. And it's easy to kind of get lax. I used to check the music press to see if Pink Floyd were touring, but then I stopped. And when I stopped, I didn't see that they were touring and I missed out. It's easy to think, oh well, you know, there'll be time later. Jesus hasn't come back yet. I'll sort it out then. But as we've seen, there is no time later. So we must not let the delay deceive us. And we must realise that it's our own responsibility for our oil as well. The bridesmaid tried to say, lend us some of your oil. I tried to say to people, give me your Pink Floyd ticket. And they said, no, you should have sorted it out yourself. I know I've told this story before, but I remember a wonderful vicar, Dick Lucas, saying that when he was a curate in Sevenoaks, he used to go around knocking on the doors. And he said it was, yeah, vicars seemed to be more welcome knocking on doors in those days. But often a man would answer. And the man would look, see the dog collar and say, darling, it's for you. As if I bring in the wage, you know, in those days, in the 50s, I bring in the wage. That's my responsibility. Spiritual stuff, that's the wife's responsibility. No, we're all responsible for how we welcome Jesus. And if we haven't truly welcomed him, we're in trouble. Back at the Reformation, there was a bit of an argument because the medieval Catholic Church had really gone to town on something called indulgences. And the idea of an indulgence is, for cash, you could buy favour. So if you had sinned, or if somebody you knew had died, and you're worried that they're in purgatory, you could buy a bit of merit. The idea was that all these good godly saints had lived good lives and there was a treasury of merit, and the Pope could give out some of this merit, which would shorten your time in purgatory or even buy your salvation now. So it wasn't about your response to Jesus and trusting in his death on the cross. It was about buying from this treasury of merit. I mean, it was brilliant. Somebody could die, not ever being a Christian, and you could buy them out. And of course, the reformers who were reading their Bibles saying, no, the church has gone astray on this point. That is crazy. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches it's that it's your personal faith that counts. You can't rely on somebody else bailing you out. So we need to take our own responsibility seriously. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow the road of discipleship. Don't let the delay deceive you, and we will be received into heaven. I just think the final thing to say, it's a very scary image that Jesus leaves us with. The door is shut. You've missed your chance. You cannot come in. I know there's teaching out there in the church that sometimes says, oh, don't really worry about that. There will be a second chance. No, once the door is shut, when Jesus comes back, there is no second chance. Which is why the apostles were so dedicated to taking the message out and saying, today is the day of salvation. Friends, Jesus could come back at any moment. He said he'd come back like a thief in the night. We need to be ready. He could come back even before this service is finished. There's no second chance. We need to make our peace with him now and be 100% committed. Just imagine you're holding an invitation. Jesus invites you to the heavenly banquet. Treasure that invitation. Respond to it. And stay true. And you'll be welcomed into the greatest party ever. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he came into the world at Christmas to save the world, to die for the sins of the world. And thank you that there is this time period now where anybody, no matter what they've done, can turn back to him and be saved. But Lord, the time is short. We don't know when the Lord Jesus is coming back. Just pray that we all make genuine responses in our hearts and that we keep on in the life of discipleship so that we'll be ready and waiting, not only with lamps but with oil too, as you return and lead us into the wonderful kingdom of heaven and the banquet. Amen.